1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Of course, we know that the Elizabeth Smart story takes strange turns even still. Arguments over who owns the rights to the story, arguments over who has the rights to the movie. NBC has weighed in. Margaret Gray is in Salt Lake City. And I know you're having lunch right now, Margaret. We appreciate you joining us from Salt Lake City, covering the Elizabeth Smart story and the movie of the week story and everything else.
And everything else, Phil. And let me tell you, this story just continues to grow. And as it continues to grow, I don't really know how Lois Smart must feel, knowing that really it was her that caused all of this to happen. And this is very difficult for one mother to say about another. But I can tell you, Phil, that the story is not coming out. Katie Couric and Oprah Winfrey and others who have come here to Salt Lake City and have made the usual pedestrian stab at getting the morning TV news interview and at getting the afternoon talk show interview. I'm a reporter. I don't know what they do, Phil, and I'm going after the story with everything.
Well, you just said something there that this perked my interest. Lois Smart, Elizabeth's mother, were it not for her, none of this would have happened.
Well, absolutely.
Why?
Well, she was the one that hired this man. She was the one...
This man who was accused of abducting Elizabeth?
Yes. I don't know the man's name. His name escapes me. The man who abducted Elizabeth Smart. His name is...
I think we're gonna find it.
But the fact is, it's Mitchell, I think. The last name is Mitchell. The fact is this. Lois Smart hired that man. He brought into his home, into her home, she brought willingly into her home a rapist, a psychotic, a man who would spend the next several months torturing her daughter beyond anything that any mother could possibly comprehend. Lois Smart did this, and I don't know how she gets out of bed in the morning and stares at herself in a mirror.
And I imagine it's difficult for her. I think she was even quoted today as saying she knows that it's her fault.
Well, I think she needs to know that it's her fault. I think she needs to live every day steeped in it. But I think there is good news for Lois Smart. And when I say good news, I'm really not being facetious. I'm saying that she's not alone, Phil. Every day, the American woman, the American mother, is another Lois Smart. She hires babysitters that she thinks she knows. She hires nannies that she thinks she knows from the school or community. She hires young women to come into the home to take care of this or that. Every day, American women make the same mistake that Lois Smart made. Every day, they willingly expose their children to the possibility of rape, murder, and dismemberment.
What do you mean willingly when you say a woman is bringing into the house? I know that my wife hires babysitters, and she's hired nannies, and we've hired cleaning people, and...
Well, Phil, Lois Smart almost got her daughter killed. You're aware of that.
I it's hard for me to say Lois Smart or any American woman willingly puts her child, unless she's a complete and utter basket case, in harm's way.
Well, you know she almost got her daughter killed. You know that. You tell me you know that.
I know that her daughter could have been killed, yes.
She drove down to some alley in Salt Lake City. She found a man. She wanted a man to help fix a leak or repair a fence. I don't know what. She bought this animal, willingly brought this animal back to her home, and basically, Phil, in a manner of speaking, handed her daughter over to him. Here is my daughter. Make her your concubine in whatever twisted religion you practice. America's mothers do this all the time.
In hiring babysitters and nannies.
Yeah, dropping them off at a daycare center that's affordable. And here again is the problem, Phil. We have American mothers willingly bringing into their home any scum to babysit their children. And why do they do that? They need to make their household budget for the month. They can't spend this much money for the month. I curse the day the personal computer was invented, because that's the day that the American woman started keeping meticulous records on her household budget, and that's the day she decided to hire inexpensive babysitters and daycare centers, and that's the day she decided to consign her children to the possibility of murder, dismemberment, and being fed into a wood chipper.
All right, this is traumatic enough. okay? It's traumatic enough.
I need to get this message out, Phil, because Katie Couric has failed. She has failed. She's dropped the ball. Oprah Winfrey will fail. Now, I suggest you go ahead and watch the interview tomorrow night with Katie Couric and Elizabeth Smart. It is the most facile, shallow, vapid, empty, and utterly without merit interview that I have ever seen in 25 years of journalism, and I've worked both print and broadcast.
All right, Margaret Gray is with us. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You fired out of the gate here with some pretty disturbing accusations. Lois Smart is the one wholly responsible for her daughter's kidnapping. I mean, I'm sure the woman didn't go down to Salt Lake City looking for some bum to kidnap her daughter. Did she?
No, she didn't, Phil, but she went down there with malice aforethought in this sense. She decided to go down there and be stupid. She said, let me just go down and be stupid. Let me go down, forget that I have daughters, forget that I have a home, forget that I have the security of a home. Let me go down and act like every other American mother and just find some garbage off the street to come in and babysit my child or fix a fence.
Well, let's talk about the babysit thing. Most women hire babysitters that they know.
What do you mean they know? I don't understand that.
Well,
that,
for instance, it's the daughter of a friend.
You don't know anything, Phil. You don't know who that girl's associations are.
But we know who the girl is.
It doesn't matter. You don't know who she's bringing into the home. You don't know who she's opening the door to. You don't know who her associations are. You don't know what relationship she has with her parents. The story that we are learning and the lesson we're learning with the abduction of Elizabeth Smart is this. What Lois Smart did, exposing her daughter to a rapist and murderer, a possible murderer, is what every American woman is doing. And myself, along with some 30 other mothers, are going to try and stop this. I have...
All right, before you say anything, our number, 1-800-449-8686, Margaret Gray is our guest. She is the columnist. She writes the daily column, A Little Bird Told Me, that appears in 150 newspapers nationally, and she has said that... and you're in Salt Lake City right now. Where are you, in a restaurant?
We're at the Little Shrimp in Park City, Phil, yeah.
All right. Now, you have said that it's Lois Smart's fault, and she willingly brought garbage into her home, this guy that abducted her daughter, and that mothers bring in babysitters. Have you never hired a babysitter?
You know something, Phil? I've hired...
No, have you never hired a babysitter? I want to know, do you and Frank, when Jason, your son, was young, did you hire a babysitter?
Phil, we did not. We hired a security company. And they have individuals that will come and sit with the child and also secure the perimeter of the home. No, I love my son. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm completely insane. But I actually love my son. And no, as a result, I don't hire babysitters right off the street to come in, fondle my son, expose him to murder, expose him to the most horrific kind of rectal rape.
Oh, come on!
I'm sorry.
Well, we don't have to be this graphic.
Phil, this is exactly what Katie Couric didn't do. And this is exactly what Oprah Winfrey doesn't have the guts to do. And you know something, Oprah? I know you're listening. I am such a huge fan of yours, but I know now it's more important for you to wander down an avocado grove or to go to the farmer's market in Montecito, and you just don't want to be a journalist anymore. But you're letting people down. You're letting down your viewers. And Katie Couric, you really know better than to conduct the kind of interview that you conducted with Elizabeth Smart that didn't answer any questions at all. It was as if Connie Chung, and yes, I said it, Connie Chung might as well have conducted the interview.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Elizabeth Smart's story is about to be told by CBS, the young girl who was abducted early last year from her home in Salt Lake City. She was kidnapped and held hostage for several months. She was raped, but ultimately, the police got to her, found her, rescued her, and brought her home. Lois Smart is being accused, at least by this reporter, Margaret Gray, as being the one who caused this to happen. Lois Smart is the mother who drove into downtown Seattle and found a workman, a guy by the name of Mitchell, who she brought back to the house to do some work on the house, to do some jobs, some odd jobs. It was he that wound up kidnapping and terrorizing Elizabeth Smart. It is a common practice for American families, perhaps, to hire day labor. But Margaret Gray is on our program to say that every American mother exposes her child willingly to danger when she hires babysitters, nannies, and the like. And that Katie Couric's interview with Elizabeth Smart was gutless, and that Oprah Winfrey's interview with Elizabeth Smart was vapid and lazy. So I'll tell you this much, and then we're going to go to a break, and you guys can think about this. My wife hires babysitters, and she hires nannies, and she hires people to come to the house and do work. And I have to say there are times when it concerns me, but I think ultimately a mother's love is going to, or maybe not, make the right decision. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray is with us. Lois Smart, even Lois Smart indicated today in the paper that she was responsible for. She feels bad that her daughter was abducted by this man because this guy Mitchell was hired by Lois Smart.
Absolutely. She doesn't even deny it, Phil. She knows she's culpable. She knows she made a mistake that could have cost her daughter her life. Why? Because she wants to save money on cheap labor and hires an alcoholic bum from an alley in Salt Lake City. I think that Lois Smart, for the rest of her life, should sit at her makeup table in her bedroom in a slip and stare into the mirror and watch the mascara run down her face, streaked by the tears. From what she did...
Well, wait a minute. I mean, the kids... She's already said that she was responsible, or at least partially. You say that every American woman does the same thing.
Look, Phil, women in this country are too fast to trust anything and anybody. I'm going to try by example to teach them. That's why we have started our organization, which is American Mothers in Action. And mothers such as myself and the handful of mothers around the country who are actually responsible mothers will, by example, show these other women what to do, because obviously they're clueless. The American female, the American mother, is absolutely clueless. That's why children are getting butchered at a record rate each and every year.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on to talk about how what Lois Smart did is rather common, most mothers do. Dixie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Dixie?
Yeah.
Okay, here is Brad. Brad, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, how you doing, Phil? Thanks for taking my call.
You got something to say?
Look, my comments are disregarding what Margaret is saying. I think that, you know, there needs to be a certain amount of trust in our world today. You know, and it's all in hindsight what happened. I mean, she didn't know that she was going
to
go out.
Wait a minute, what do you mean there has to be a certain amount of trust in our world today? What is that? Are you male or female? That seems so ridiculous. So let's just hire some garbage off the street in alley and trust him that he's not going to rape your daughter. Are you a father?
No, I'm not saying that.
Are you a father?
Don't you believe it's a little harsh?
Are you a father?
No.
The most important question here, are you even a parent?
Am I a parent?
So you don't have a clue.
But,
you're
okay,
just
I don't
sitting
have a clue
out there next
to your parent,
radio.
But I'm an American citizen.
Well,
so
good
for you
for
to
you.
Tell me that because, you know, I'm not a parent doesn't mean anything.
Well, it doesn't mean anything. You don't know anything. You're an American citizen. What does that mean? So that means you know how to watch TV. I think that's about all that qualifies you to do.
Wait a minute. I'd like to hear the man's opinion about this issue, whether he's a parent or not.
Thanks, Phil. I plan on being a parent one day. My dad's a parent. He's here with me. I just think that you're being way too hard on Lois Smart. She feels awful about what she's done.
She brought this man into
their
home.
Can I finish? Can I finish, please? Thank you. She feels awful about what she's done. At what point are you going to be able to just, you know, kind of forget about that? You know, she made a mistake. She willingly admits that. But you can't sit here and blame her for this.
Now, what?
She didn't know that this man was going to be a nutcase, that he was going to go out and do this. If he had known that, he wouldn't have done it.
That forgives her? My God, we have to know.
Wait a minute. What tests would you give Ms. Gray to babysitters or anybody to make sure that they are all right?
First of all, a mother can scrutinize potential people. Ask them if they've ever kidnapped a child. Do they have a criminal record? Ask them for their DMV record. Get them to take an AIDS test. Find out what type of car they drive. Can they cook? Can they do anything other than rape and dismember a child? My God. But I'm a mother. That's why I know.
All right, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Tyler, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. Listening to the comments that Miss Gray's been making, it doesn't make sense. Basically, what she's saying in a nutshell is not babysitters in to tend your kids. People that your neighbors that you trust and know, their daughters. What's the difference between doing that than sending your kids to a public school? You don't know these teachers any better than you know these babysitters, or even the Sunday school on a Sunday afternoon.
Well,
you don't know
these
Sunday school teachers.
Well, first of all, a teacher in a school was hired, was criminal checked, has certain credentials. What credentials exactly do babysitters have, other than that they bring their Walkman with them? What credentials
what about
do they have?
What about these people that these teachers are associated with?
What about them?
You don't know who these teachers are associated with.
I don't know. I don't understand what he's talking about. They go to class, there's the teacher, then they come home. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about they can get information from these kids. They find out where they live.
I'm talking about you, sir, and what is your name? Oh, Tyler. Tyler, you willingly bring into your home people that can murder your children. Why do you do that?
I'm just saying, you're a little
Why
extreme
are
for
you
me.
Doing that? Why?
I'm not saying I'm doing it. I'm saying
the children. We are looking to protect the children.
Let the man finish, please.
We bring neighbors' kids over to tend our children. I feel perfectly comfortable with
Bottom line. My son has never been raped. There. Thank you.
Well, neither have mine. And it's not going to happen in my house either.
Well, I find that very hard to believe.
Wait a minute. The man said that it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened.
And you find that hard to believe?
Well, acting the way you're acting and saying the things you're saying, yes.
Well, coming from a lady that hires a security guard to come and babysit her kid. Now, I don't know, if I would have to imagine that 99% of the American public is probably, in the same class as I am as far as income. We don't have that to hire a security guard to come and tend our children if we want to go to the movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're telling me that you don't have enough money to keep your child alive.
My God. I have enough common sense to keep my child alive.
Look at the man, every man, poor, rich, in between, if he loves his children, does everything that he can.
First of all, my son is, and it wasn't fair of me, my son is a public personality. He's an actor. He does need additional security.
Now answer me this question. How many children do you have?
I have one son. His name is Jason J. Delmonico. He has been in a number of public productions, I should say. So he is a well-known actor.
Good for you. You have one child.
Well, what you're telling me is you'd rather fill a tank full of gas than hire a proper babysitter.
No, I come from a family with seven children. I have three of my own.
And they're all living.
Yes, they're all living.
Because I don't know how you keep children alive in a home where every wino gets to come in and fix the plumbing and fix the roof and have at it.
I don't know how to answer that because that doesn't happen all the time. Here you've got a very rare case here, and you're making
it protect the children.
And you're making it sound like that this is going to happen no matter what you do.
We must protect the children.
All right, listen, Tyler, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray, author of A Little Bird Told Me, the nationally syndicated column. If you hire babysitters, if you hire nannies, if you hire people to come in and, daycare centers, what you're basically doing is you're doing the same thing that Lois Smart did by hiring that bum off the street who kidnapped her daughter. You're exposing your children to potential murder and rape. In other words, you're doing everything that Lois Smart did that drove that family to 6-8 months of horror and terror. 1-800-449-86. What, Ms. Gray?
They'd rather hire a carny.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray with us. Go ahead, Margaret. You had a point you wanted to make about your son.
Well, one of the things that people think that they can get away with is they'll walk up to your child and they'll say things like, oh, isn't he cute? Isn't he lovely? Isn't he a beautiful baby? And I find it amazing that they would think that I or any real mother would be so stupid as to think that that's a harmless comment. I find people that go up to other people's babies and say, what a lovely baby, or isn't she cute? I find them very disturbing. Very disturbing. I find it...
But isn't that a natural thing for people to do?
Do you do it?
I don't know that I do it. Isn't it a natural thing for one mother?
I've had women, when Jason Jay was very small, I had mothers come up while he was in a stroller and say, oh, aren't you beautiful? And they look at me as if I'm supposed to be happy. And, of course, the very first instinct you have when you are a mother who loves your children and you know how dangerous the world is, you say to them, I would very much appreciate it if you would get away from my child and get away from me because you're scaring this child. You're scaring me.
Well, wait. Just so I'm clear, women or who come up to other women's babies, we're talking about people that don't know each other, right? Or do they know each other?
It doesn't matter, Phil. The people that know each other, perhaps. But the strangers...
All right, so in a supermarket, a woman comes up to your baby and says, aren't you a cute little baby boy? And you say, get away from me.
Phil, in other words, please don't ask me. Just listen. I'm a mother with a lot of experience. I know how to keep my child alive, which is something that most parents are very clueless about. When a woman that I don't know is standing in line behind me in the grocery store, and she looks at my son, and she says, oh, isn't he cute? Isn't he a nice baby? How old is he? And starts asking an awful lot of really, really rude questions. I say to her, I would very much appreciate, I'm very sorry, but I'd very much appreciate it if you would mind your own business and keep your eyes off of my child. I don't like anyone looking at my child for a long time. I think it's very, very sick. I think it's very, very perverted.
Well, wait. So if somebody sees your son, if you see a cute baby, like I've had, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. I'm sitting on an airplane, okay?
Yes.
And a little baby is in the seat in front of me. Now he turns around and he's staring at me, and I'm like looking at him. So, you know, everybody's had that experience.
Well, so what do you do?
What do I do when the baby's looking at me?
Yes.
I wink at him. I go, I don't know. I make a face or something. I mean, what are you going to do? A baby's looking at you.
This is what I'm talking about, and this is something that I would really check in yourself if I were you. You get a magazine, Phil, you get a book, you bury your face in it. You start making goo-goo eyes at a baby. I think it's very strange, and I think it bespeaks behavior that is very suspect. That's how my son has stayed alive.
So somebody stares at your son and makes a little funny face at him, and he's a pervert.
I think it's very, very peculiar for another grown adult to look at someone else's child and all of a sudden become engrossed and curious about that child. I think it's very sick. And I will not abide anyone staring at my child. And when they make the goo-goo face, I say, excuse me, and I don't mean to be rude, but I would like you to get away from me and my child.
Good God, how rude.
How rude is it when you find your child in five different shopping bags in a vacant lot? How rude is that, Phil? How rude?
You know, you're making leaps that I think are wrong. 1-800-449-8686. I think it's ridiculous to say, because somebody makes goo-goo eyes at my kid, he's going to dismember the child.
Well, you know something, Phil? My child's alive today. Elizabeth Smart almost wound up in six different suitcases because her mother's too stupid not to hire some bum off of a street in Salt Lake City.
Now we're calling a woman that went through 8 months of hell stupid. Is that what we're doing? Is that where we're sinking?
Phil, I'm trying to keep children alive. I don't know what you're trying to do other than to protect some woman who is probably a housebound alcoholic who has...
Watch what you're saying about the mother of a girl that was kidnapped and the family went through a lot of bad stuff.
Jesus.
Oh, no, yeah, you're frustrated with me. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on Lois Smart and her decision to hire this handyman that eventually kidnapped her daughter. Lynn, welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. You're on with Margaret Gray.
Oh, my God, I cannot believe it. I'm here.
It's unbelievable.
I am a first-time caller, and I am shaking. I am so angry.
Are you a mother? Are you a mother?
I am a mother of three children, and I protect my children the way I feel that they should be protected. And I don't think that you should be calling any mother stupid because they make an error. And there are family members that have come in and have done things to children. So, it, you know, you protect your children as best as you can protect them. And to call people alcoholics and winos and whatever else you've been calling them, I find you very insulting. I cannot believe that you are talking the way you're talking. To say that people are perverts because they look at other people's children? I'm sorry. I work in a school, and I find that totally, totally insulting, the things that you are saying.
Well, Lynn, let me just say this. The reason why my son today doesn't have a nail file in his throat and he's buried 6 feet.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'd like to, this is the reality of the world. If you're a
no,
mother...
No, it's not
are,
the reality of the world. You are
is.
Not living
what
in a bubble.
What kind of wonderland do you live in? Our children are abducted and murdered every day.
You know what?
Your children
yes.
are at risk.
Unfortunately...
I'm sorry, Lynn, I have to say this. Your children are at risk if they have a mother.
No, my
They're
children are not at risk. My children,
yes,
I think that I
no,
have
you live in
well.
La La La. You live out in fairyland.
All right, let
no,
the lady finish.
No, I'm sorry. I think you do. You are way over the top. I think that I protect my children, and I have taught them, I feel, the best that I can do to help them in the world we live in. And you cannot be with them every second of their lives. And I've done the best job I can.
Well, Lynn,
and my children,
Lynn, my children
are all in university and are all doing well. And I find it very insulting to speak to mothers the way you are.
Lynn,
or to
I've
others.
Got to tell you something. Your best just isn't good enough.
Well,
you're
I'm
have to
sorry,
do better.
I feel it is.
You're going to have to do
better.
I think
you are way
Otherwise,
over the top.
You've got kids that are going to be in a ditch someplace.
Wait a minute.
I understand how you can talk that way to people.
I'll bet you think
it's
okay
me.
When you... Let me ask you,
you
something.
Do not know me. You do not know how I am with my children, what I have done
right.
to protect
all right.
my
can
children.
Can I ask you a question? Do you warn your children that they could end up with their head in a bag and their torso in the river if they're talking...
You know what, my children...
Good God, why would you want to put a nightmare like that on a child?
How I would just, never do that to my child.
How about just telling the kid, look, there's certain people...
Do you warn your children that they could end up with their head in a bag and their torso in the river, yes or no?
No, I don't talk
Good
that way
God.
To my children. I would never talk that way to my children.
The children
when
have to know.
When my children were young, I taught them... How to react in public with different people, yes.
All right, I
just
have
like
to ask
anybody
you,
else does.
All right, I have to ask
to
you the big
themselves.
Question. I've got to ask you the big question. And I don't mean anything by this. Have you hugged another person's child?
Yes, I have.
Good
Many.
Sweet Christ. Good Jesus.
Many.
Oh, wait.
Many children.
Does that make this
and
lady
I
a pervert?
I feel very sorry for
I
you, and I feel very,
very
sorry for your child that you are so afraid to be affectionate.
Have
to think
been,
somebody's a pervert because they're affectionate.
All right, there's nothing wrong with that, but have you been AIDS tested?
Oh, my God.
Good what? Lord.
No,
I'm
not
asking,
being
have
tested
you been AIDS
because,
tested?
You know why I have not been AIDS tested? Because I have been with one person in my life, and that is my husband.
All right, but I'm talking about...
And I would not have to be AIDS tested, and that's really... You know, I don't understand where you're coming
I'm
from.
I'm just saying, in the event...
I can't...
In
I've
the
never
out,
heard...
In the extreme event that you rape a child, have you been AIDS tested?
Okay, that's enough.
I think it is
That's enough.
I think you are way over
I told Jason that if he wasn't careful, his feet would end up as bookends on some pervert's
You know, I feel sorry for your son. Because that's absolutely ridiculous to talk the way you're talking.
Wait a minute, I got to know something, like, Ms. Gray. You said to your son, if he wasn't careful, his feet would wind up as bookends on a...
On a pervert's mantle, yes.
So you scare the living daylights out of that poor boy.
But he's alive. And that's the whole goal, to keep the children alive.
How
and
alive
woman,
can he be? How alive can he be, fearing every move
he makes? The boy's alive. But can I ask you something,
I'm sorry,
Lynn?
You
How
know
many
what?
Children
I cannot believe that you are a columnist. I cannot
something?
Believe the things you're saying.
If you were to drag Lake Ontario right now, you'd find the corpses of more children than they murdered Jews in World War II.
Oh, my
and
God.
Oh, my God.
I don't, know where you live, and I don't know what happened to you in your life to make you feel and talk the way you are. But it is very sad. I'm sorry for you.
Well, I
because
have had
you are
problems.
Not living at all. You
I've,
are not living.
I've had problems,
and I'm sorry. I really feel sorry for you and your son.
I have to tell and you, I've taken prescription medicine. And
well, that's all that I have to say about
well,
that.
I do
and
have
thank
problems.
Thank you for taking my
would you,
call.
Would you like to have coffee sometime?
No, I definitely would not.
Even if
never.
I came to you? Even if
never.
I came to your house?
Never. I would never have coffee with you.
So in other words, you want your children to wind up with their skin on a lamp.
You know what?
Okay, thank
my
you.
Children won't
thank
end
you very much.
That way.
Thank you. That's all I need to know.
You know, Ms. Gray, you've made some assumptions that are outrageous.
So she wants her children to wind up in lipstick. Good. Have at it.
What an unbelievable statement.
Unbelievable statement. Unbelievable statement. I'm trying to save the children. You say that I make unbelievable statements, Mr. Henry. You have sat there quietly listening while your callers berated me, called me every name in the book, said I'm some kind of a sicko when I'm trying to keep the children alive.
What the hell? What are you all of a sudden? Evita Perón? Good God!
The children need to know.
Yeah, the children need to know what? That they'll wind up in a baggie? That their feet will be bookends on a pervert's mantle?
Let the children know.
Oh, shut up. Sound like something out of a... You know what? If you put on a put a broomstick between your legs, I think you ought to go as the Wicked Witch of the West, you freak. Margaret Gray, with another column, A Little Bird Told Me. Yeah, okay. And her idea is to keep the children safe so they don't wind up like Elizabeth Smart. If anybody looks at your kid and says they're cute, they must be a pervert. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Now, I told you I was at the mall, though, and I have to say these things, and I think it's very, very important that people know that their children are in danger.
You're making an ass out of yourself.
No, I'm not.
The children will be coming at these door cells. Keep your eyes on the children. The children.
Hope somebody stepped on her foot or beat her over the head with a plastic... garden rake or something. All right, Phil Henry Show. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Margaret in the preceding bit. And you can log on and get our backstage pass to find out more about our fun little falderall of a show here. 1-800-449-8686 from yesterday's show. Dr. Jim Sadler is with us, and he was talking about something.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, sir. My husband was in a coma.
Yes, ma'am.
In a coma for about 3 or 4 months or 5. It was a long time.
How come?
He was sick. He had emphysema and everything. And all of a sudden, he slipped into a coma.
Yes, ma'am.
Doctor named Dr. Brown. He came in.
Oh, Dr. Brown. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, Dr. Brown came
right,
in.
I know him.
Wait a minute.
Go
and
ahead.
Then he came in. You know what he said? He said, no. My husband about 40, 50 years old. He said, no, don't pull the plug on it. He said, because he is too young to die. So let him stay on another 2 or 3 weeks. And we did. And you know what happened? The nurse was standing over watching him. And then all of a sudden, he awakened. Then he told the nurse, he said, what the damn hell y'all standing over looking at me like this?
Is that
nurse,
right? That's amazing. Now, when he woke up and he looked at you, Winona, did he think you
No, he didn't look at me. The nurse. The nurse was standing over.
I bet you he thought you were Missy Elliott when he first saw you, didn't he?
No, the nurse was standing over him, and the nurse said, no, he told the nurse, what the damn hell y'all standing over looking at me like this right here?
Isn't that a wonder? Now, is he dead? Is he alive? Where is he now?
We were married for 50 years.
And you said he saw you and he thought you were Halle Berry? Is that what he said?
No.
I thought that's what you said.
No.
No, she didn't say
The nurse was standing over him.
He said you were Missy Elliott.
No.
No, she didn't say that.
All right, then I'm missing something.
You are missing something, yes. I said the nurse was standing over him, and he asked the nurse, what the damn
all
hell?
Right. Are you sure that was your husband? And were you in the right room?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
I know my husband because I've been married to him for 50 years.
Well, of course you are, darling. And I just wanted to make sure you knew you were in the right room.
What kind of a question is that?
You know what? The lady going to live. Y'all going to leave
that lady alone. Well, what did you do with the boyfriend you had once your husband woke up?
I'm not like her husband.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. About her husband. What about her husband?
I understand, darling.
I'm not like that, sir.
Okay. Now, Jeb Bush.
Look, listen to me.
Jeb Bush wanted to pull the feeding tube on his brother George.
Wait a minute. Would you just shut up a little while?
Yes, ma'am.
My husband died August of 6th of 99.
August 6th, 99.
How many years that did? I do not have no boyfriend, no husband, no nobody.
Now, darling, is your husband still in a coma?
Her husband has passed on. I'm sorry.
Do you understand?
Who did your husband think he was?
Are you a doctor?
You know what, Winona?
Are you a doctor, sir?
Yeah, are you a doctor, Dr. Sadler?
Well, why do you think they call me Dr. Sadler? Am I a doctor? They call me Dr. Sadler.
Well, you sure don't talk like one. You talk like somebody that don't have it all.
Well, darling, could I speak with your husband right now, please?
Could you speak to my husband?
Yes, ma'am.
I told you he had passed in 99.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She said her husband's dead in 1999.
But he rose on the third day, and that's the great thing about Jesus.
That she's not talking about Jesus. She's talking about her ex-husband.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What do you mean he said, what are y'all looking at me?
He didn't realize he had been in a coma. When he came out of the coma, he told the nurses what the hell were they standing over looking at him because the nurses were watching him. And
you know,
the nurses went got...
Yeah, that's a great story. It's a great
because
story.
Because the doctors told him, told us that he would be a vegetable. He wouldn't know anything when he come out of that coma, and he did.
He'd be a vegetable. I thought when you said he woke up and he said, what the hell are y'all looking at me for? I thought you were talking about Jesus. You know? And
no. Look, Winona, thank you very much. And that's a beautiful story. All right, dear. Bye-bye.
What do you mean? What, you making me sound like I'm an asshole?
Yeah, you treated her like one.
What did I do?
I thought you were talking about Jesus. What the hell are y'all looking at me for?
And then he rose to heaven.
Look, at Winona's back. Winona, go ahead. You're back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, you're the one. You're the doctor that I was talking to a few minutes ago?
Yes, this is Dr. Jim Sadler.
Okay, sir. The one that I was talking to, I don't know who he is, but I tell you what, he is one stupid doctor. He's no doctor. He's one stupid ass. He needs to be off in this show. He don't need to be talking to nobody because he don't know what he's talking about. He is one stupid doctor.
Well,
I don't want to talk to you no more.
What did I say?
You was that. You have no kind of sense at all. You're a stupid man.
I'm stupid.
You don't need to be on the show talking to nobody because you don't know what you're saying. You're talking to rules and all that kind of stuff. You an ignorant doctor. Ignorant bastard doctor. Bye.
Well, now, I don't know what to say. I'm flabbergasted by the... Winona, you need to lay down because you're going to get excited to slip into a coma.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Phil, the children need to know that their seven hands will become a promised leather codpiece. They must know. They must...
I thought we'd hung up on her. Their severed hands will become a pervert's leather codpiece. Good God. What an hour. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. But coming up, I think, will be the best part of the show because we've got news about Phil Jackson that's going to make you pitch up your lunch. You're not going to believe what Phil Jackson said of the L.A. Lakers. As if these guys aren't dumb enough. As if they don't say stupid enough things as it is. Phil Jackson's in the news. Bob Costas has declined our interview to come on our show because, frankly, he's scared. His secretary recognized the name of the show. She had a little bit of a hitch in her voice, and then she said, no, he's not doing any radio. We'll get behind all of this stuff in a moment on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The LA sports media is never one for much courage, but they've really backed down on this one because it's Phil Jackson. And the reason why I'm only mentioning the LA sports media is only today, because it was emailed to me by a listener in Virginia, was I made aware that Phil Jackson made some comments back in September that make Mark Cuban's comments about Kobe Bryant's potential rape trial being a boon for the NBA sound like they came out of the mouth of like John F. Kennedy's inaugural address, like it was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Because what Jackson said, Jackson quoted as telling ESPN on sometime in September, it can be a boon for us, the Kobe Bryant rape trial. A boon for us, said Phil Jackson, the Zen master. By the way, do any of you guys know what Zen is? Because I know a lot of you don't. You hear this, and a lot of the sportscasters, they say Zen. They don't know. They wouldn't know Zen from Yen, man. They wouldn't know if they think that's the name of another character in a Star Wars movie. Zen is a kind of Buddhism. Zen Buddhism. And there is a certain kind of Zen meditation that you do, etc. I've studied Buddhism. I actually studied Zen Buddhism. So I know a little bit about it, and there ain't nothing Zen about Phil Jackson. Just because he's tall and he used to be a hippie and maybe he smokes some dope and maybe he sits in a hot tub out in Palm Desert every now and again with Jeannie Buss, all 8 feet tall of him, it don't make him no Zen master, dig? Just because he's got a beard and he knows like four-syllable words, it doesn't mean he's a Zen master. It means he's a big, tall guy with a beard and he knows four-syllable words. That's what it means. I ain't saying Phil Jackson is an intelligent man, but for an intelligent man, he sure is dumb. It can be a boon for us, said Phil Jackson. Now, how come none of you guys in the L.A. sports media picked up on this one? You wanted to rip Mark Cuban a new one, which we were the only guys that actually did it. And yeah, we got to call into Phil Jackson. We want to get him on the air. We want to ask him, what is it with you guys in the NBA? Don't you understand what's going on here? You got a member of your team there at the LA Lakers on trial for rape. Don't you think you'd keep your big, fat mouth shut, Jackson? Your big, fat mouth. Maybe somebody over there at the Lakers ought to tell you to just shut up and coach basketball. Do you understand? Maybe that guy Jerry Buss, he's the owner of the team. Has he got enough pull? Maybe he's got enough juice with the team. He only owns it. To say to you, hey, Phil, just a suggestion, but how about you keep that big fat bazoo of yours closed? That might be, I don't know, you know, it's just an idea, but how about you just not say anything? Phil Jackson told ESPN it can be a support for us in a way. It can build team chemistry. We can use it for that in a very unique kind of way. Jackson went on to say the Lakers could make this our showpiece. Ha ha! Ha ha! Wow! And nobody... Nobody in the L.A. media reported this at all. It took a listener of mine in Virginia, and we did a site search. We found this in the Miami Herald and in the Denver Post, and that's it. We found this series of comments in the Miami Herald, the Denver Post, and obviously it ran on ESPN somewhere on one of their extremely interesting websites. Jesus, you guys really, speaking of ESPN, you want to maybe do something with your website so they're actually readable, so they're actually navigable? So they make some kind of sense. You know, go to ESPN. Seriously, go to ESPN.com and try to find an NBA score. Go ahead. Just try it. You don't know whether you're on the NASCAR. You don't know what the hell you're looking at. And do you think they'll post anything on their homepage? Like maybe, hey, this big game was played? Jackson went on to say the Lakers could, quote, make this our showpiece. We're talking about the Kobe Bryant rape trial, ladies and gentlemen. When we're talking about comments made by Phil Jackson, the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, in late September to ESPN. And I'm reading these out of a column written by Jeff Miller in the Miami Herald. Now, here's a guy. This guy's a sports writer who actually knows which side of the bread the butter's on. This guy's not going to pull any punches. Although, if this was, you know, if this was happening to Pat Riley, who knows? He says, make this our genius of playing together. The chilling description that he gave, says Miller, it's a chilling description given the raw nature of the charges. Jackson said, I think we can use it if we want to help generate the energy and the motivation to get toward that championship. Well, what would you use? Let's say that Phil Jackson was misunderstood. Let's say he meant this in a way that was not disrespectful to the potential victim or even to Kobe. All right, well, it would mean then that, what? What does that mean? I don't understand. That the team is feeling bad for itself? That the team's feeling sorry for Kobe, or that the team's feeling sorry for the victim? What do you use in that rape trial to motivate the basketball team, Phil? You're the Zen master. Zen master. What do these cats think of Zen masters? A freaking mix master. They think it's something you make a margarita with. I listen to these guys, Phil Jackson, the Zen master, including that freaking Vic the Brickhead. Hey, Brickhead, knock it off with the Zen master stuff, okay? And try speaking English next time you do a sportscast. It's hard enough listening to sports on the radio without listening to Brickhead come up with a whole, you know, I'm 50 going on 20, this is a cool jizzob that I got. Dig it? Vic the freaking Brickhead. Jackson made these comments, as I said, to ESPN. Now, what's going on? I'd like to know what's going on. Have people completely lost their minds? Why don't you just shut up, Jackson, about the Kobe Bryant story? With all due respect, you must think that this is some kind of a trivial sidebar to the larger story, which is the Lakers season. The Lakers season, I don't care if they burn the Staples Center down tomorrow. I like basketball. I like the NBA. I wish the Lakers well. I remember having the measles when I was 10 years old and opened up the sports page and I saw the Lakers beat the St. Louis Hawks in one of the playoff games. You know, I've been a Laker fan my whole life. Always loved Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, all through the 70s, 80s, 90s. But compared to what's going on in the real world here, Jackson, the Lakers season, you could flush down the toilet along with the last cigarette I smoked. This guy's talking about the Kobe Bryant trial being something that's a boon for the team. And, of course, I'm the big mouth on the radio making a whole lot out of nothing. Yeah, I understand. I know how it's played. They're the Lakers. They know exactly what they're saying. And I'm just the big fat mouth on the radio making a big deal out of nothing. And look at Hendry trying to find material for his show. Yeah, sure. I understand. Never mind, I've been talking about this stuff for months. Never mind that personally I'm sickened. Personally sickened to the point of runny diarrhea, having to think about, listen to, and watch you clowns in the sports world, and you guys particularly in the sports media, softball these guys all over the place. It just really, it gets me to the point of where I gotta do something, man. Either sit on the toilet or just do 360s, just out of the mouth, the other way, out of the mouth, because I can't stand it any longer. Nobody asks the questions. Everybody just goes along as if life is just a normal thing. NBA player accused of rape. Another guy pulls a gun. Another guy does drugs. Another guy kills somebody drunk. Another guy is waving a gun in traffic. Another guy is fathering illegitimate children. Here's another guy is another drunk. Here's another guy is another drug addict. Here's another guy who's beating up people. Here's another guy that's starting a fight. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And it's all kind of buried on the back page. And really the bigger story is, did they win the Super Bowl or not? And if they won the Super Bowl, then all of this aberrant behavior is fine. And wait till I tell you what's happening with Warren Sapp. When you hear what's happening with Warren Sapp, you're going to laugh yourself sick. You'll laugh yourself sick. Warren Sapp's back in the news. Wait till you hear this one. I don't make the stuff up. But as you know, it's become my particular mission in life, and mine only, to speak the truth about sports, because unfortunately, of the thousands of sports talk stations in America and the millions of sports talk hosts, nobody's telling any truth about sports. Nobody. Nobody is speaking any truth whatsoever. They give you a score. They talk about how some cat can ball. They talk about how some cat's got game. They talk about how some cat, how he's looking in his baggy gear. And like that, right? Nobody's telling the truth, man. Nobody's talking about what's really happening in sports. The criminality, the arrogance, the stupidity, the utter, unbelievable stupidity that just kind of is so oft repeated, it's just flowing under our noses like a bad fart. You know, in other words, you know how you sit in a locker room long enough and you can smell a guy's armpit, you don't even notice it anymore? That's us. That's the sports fan. We've been sitting in the stench-filled locker room of the sports world for so long that every fart, every bad armpit, every stench-ridden stink that comes out of these guys, it just kind of flows under our noses like it's lilacs. You know, we just, well, whatever. I mean, they're playing ball. I guess they can go out and rape and kill and murder and whatever it is they want to do. Now, wait till when we come back. I'll have Warren Sapp, but I cannot let the Phil Jackson stuff go. I want to tell you this. We did call the Lakers. We've requested an interview. I expect it'll be declined. And I know that now our interviews are being declined because these guys are well aware of the fact of what we're about. Phil Jackson will not come on my show and talk about this because Phil Jackson doesn't want to get his ass ripped up one side and down the next. Now, that's the facts, Jack. Number two, Bob Costas, who we contacted, spoke with his publicist. As soon as Chris, my associate producer, said, this is the Phil Hendry show, he could hear her dry heaving into a waste paper basket. Literally, he could hear her go, and then she said, no. So Bob Costas won't come on this show because Bob Costas, the apologist for the corruption in sports, Bob Costas, the softball interviewer, and Bob Costas, the guy with the childish idolatry of the alcoholic Mickey Mantle, Bob Costas ain't even in my league. What do you think about that, Bob? You ain't in my league. You ain't in my league. Yeah, I know. Mr. Hendry, who do you think you are? You don't make the kind of money that Mr. Cott. He's a world-renowned. You're just a little, tiny, puny ego case. It may be. But even ego cases every now and again can speak some truth, and I'm laying the truth out to you. When it comes to analyzing the world of sports and really life in general, Costas ain't in my league. Yeah, well, I would expect that out of a small potatoes guy like you, Hendry. Yeah, well, you have a lot of fun there, pal, in your puny little radio gig. Well, you're right, sir. You're right. I have a puny little radio gig. I didn't muster up the ability to bend over and spread so I could get a big time TV network job. So I'm down here and I'm still heterosexual doing radio. I don't really cotton to jail rape. That's why I'm not doing the big job at NBC. Minute I get used to a broom handle, man, you can be sure I'll be hosting the halftime show of the NBA on NBC or wherever, whatever network they choose to be on next year. All right, anyway, coming up is going to be Warren Sapp. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. Any mailbag, Jackson? Janice. I've been saying Phil Jackson. I'm going to start calling you Jackson Ungaro. Is that okay? We got a mailbag today? All right, we're going to check out some mail from you guys. We'll be talking about President Bush getting heckled down in Australia. Do you love those Aussies or do you not? Here's the 300 Australians get butchered up in the Bali nightclub bombing. 300 Aussies get blown into freaking pizza toppings, into cracker toppings. But they boo us because we go to Iraq to try to do something about it. I mean, I know there are a lot of jarhead, jughead, dumbasses living in Australia. Don't get me wrong. I know that there's a whole lot of bush trash down there. But I had no idea they were that stupid. They're almost as dumb as us. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be taking phone calls for the next hour and 40 minutes or so. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I forgot to tell you. One of the most popular features on our show is coming up in just minutes. News that even football players can understand. Brand new feature on our show. You're going to love it. And we've done one, and it has met with wildly successful reception. Well, you know, people are digging it. So that's coming up. News that even football players can understand, coming up in minutes on the Phil Hendry Show. Also, I told you that Marie and I went to a, quote, charity affair, end quote, and it was a costume ball, and I got into a pirate uniform, and she got into a Empress Josephine costume. Anyway, the picture of us as Empress Josephine and a pirate is on the homepage of our website. And actually, somebody had the utter and incredible lack of humor to write an email saying, how dare you make fun of the Mepham High Pirates? I wasn't even thinking of them. My wife picked out the costume. I didn't know I was going to be going as a pirate, an ass pirate, or anything else. I should have gone as a pirate with three broom handles taped together. Hi, I'm from Long Island. Can I have a Long Island iced tea? Just kidding, of course. All right, so that's coming up, so go to our website and check that out. And by the way, Bob Costas is going to be in our city. That's why you not being able to do an interview. Yeah, Roger, whatever you say, Bob. I know. Yeah, I'm small potatoes, you're big time. Bob Costas will be doing the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita. I don't know what he's going to be doing other than just boring everybody to tears with his just utterly pedestrian observations about horses. Horses have four legs, and little midgets ride the... whatever he's going to say. And, you know, the Breeders' Cup is a marvelous event. It is, I believe, 8 championship races, thoroughbred horses, and it will be held this year. We're very honored right here in the L.A. area in Arcadia, my hometown, at Santa Anita. My beloved Santa Anita. I grew up in the shadow of Santa Anita. I went to Santa Anita as a kid. I used to sneak into the track, digging holes under fences behind the back training track. And then later on, when I got old enough, I'd go in and place bets. It's a gorgeous sport horse racing, and it's utterly in trouble in California. Nobody's going to the track anymore. Everybody's doing OTB, off-track betting. And it was always a sport that didn't have broad appeal. But it's close to my heart because, as I said, I grew up in a city where Santa Anita Racetrack was the... It was a driving plant. It was one of the driving factories, if you will, in that town. And I saw them all, man. I saw John Henry. I saw Foolish Pleasure. I saw Affirmed. I saw The Great Aliadar. And if you want to know, I tell you what, don't read the book. Don't read the book. The book is the story of Calumet Farms, one of the most disgraceful, disgusting, unbelievably tragic tales the sports world has ever told. The story of Calumet Farms and what happened to one of the most beautiful animals ever to run on a thoroughbred track, Aliadar. It'll break your freaking heart. Foolish, all of them. I saw the great jockeys. Willie Shue, Lafitte Pinkai, Chris McCarron. I was there. I was 23 years old. I saw Alvaro Pineda get killed in the starting gate when his horse reared up and killed him. It's a gorgeous track. It's a great sport. It's utterly in trouble in California. Nobody's going to the races anymore. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm sorry to see it happen. But you know what? Here's the world of betting. You know this as well as I do. Horse racing, like every other gambling pursuit, is driven by the $2 bettor. The real cheap early power. In other words, some guy comes out, lays his $2 and splits. That's what it was driven by for years. The $2 bettor wants to go off to the Chumash Bingo now, man. He wants to go off to the Indian gaming. He wants to go off and sit on his fat ass and feed quarters into a slot machine. That's about as skillful as that guy is. And there's just not enough of the rest of us. There's not enough of the big... I want to say big. I mean, people that actually know how to read a racing form and want to go out and watch the horses. The movie Seabiscuit, I don't know how good that was, but I recommend that you read the book because it's an astounding story and an unbelievable story, and it is absolutely true. Every word of it, it really happened. The story of this animal and the jockey that rode this horse and the trainer and the owner, these men that came together, I was going to say these four men. I guess Seabiscuit, in a way, was a kind of a guy. These guys came together and created a tale that is so moving, and it's absolutely true. It happened in America. It happened in the late part of the Depression. One, a jockey who was absolutely just sort of a journeyman, had been all over the country, had raced in carnivals, was a prize fighter in fairs, couldn't win with any other horse. A trainer who slept in barns, never had a championship horse, didn't really even find any success in his life until he hit 50. An owner who had lost his son to an automobile accident, even though he'd made his millions selling cars, who suddenly got into the horse racing business. He was absolutely destroyed and distraught by the loss of his son. These guys came together and they found this knobby-kneed horse that was running little crap can races and carnivals. And suddenly this animal became the toast of Depression America, won a lot of money, and was the biggest sports star of the first half of the 20th century other than Babe Ruth. Literally. It was Babe Ruth and Seabiscuit, these two creatures. And I tell you what, I bet you Seabiscuit was far more decent on a Friday night than Babe Ruth. I bet you Seabiscuit had better table manners. All right, coming up, news that even football players can understand, and the Warren Sapp story, which is just going to blow your freaking mind. If you think Warren Sapp is dumb, you ain't heard nothing yet. Oh, baby, is he dumb. Dumb. Not as dumb as me, but... 1-800-449-8686, this is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, the Phil Hendry Show presents news that even pro football players can understand. Here's your newscaster and evening anchor, Bud Dickman.
Thank you, and here's the news that a football player will... He'll know what it means and everything. Some people arrested some people there from Mexico, and they came here, and they're in trouble, the Mexicans.
Now more news that only pro football players can understand.
There's a lady with big boobs. She's gonna die, she said. She has a disease. She's got big boobs, and also she has sex with men.
And now more news, pro football players can understand.
The boys who put a pole in another boy's butt, they're going to be in trouble now. they're going to have other people say that stuff was put in their butt by the boys that did that.
Now more news. The football players understand.
There's a lady, she kissed another lady, and it's going to be on MVTVT. She kissed another lady. Then another kid, he said he had a disease, but he didn't, and he goes to a school. And now it's bad. Now I want to bring on Warren Sapp of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to read more news that the football players can understand. Warren?
Now more news.
Thanks a lot, Warren. The people that go to Iraq to kill the bad people, they want to come home, too. Now Warren Sapp with more news. The pro football players can understand.
Yeah, Jim Carrey, man. Ha! Man, I love everything he do. And he don't do another movie about the man. You remember that $6 billion man?
No, he's $6 million man.
Bull crap, it's a $6 billion man, you old fame.
Sorry, Warren, I had to do it. Also, Jason Richardson of the Golden State Warriors, he beat up a girl. And a man jumped off of Niagara Falls. He's alive, and he said he's dumb, but he's glad he's alive. And a college kid, his dad got hit by a car. He got some money. And Prince is a Jehovah's Witness and is bothering people at their house.
This has been news only pro football players can understand. On the Phil Henry Show.
I'd like to thank Warren Sapp. Thank you, Warren.
Yeah, man. Hey, when that $6 billion man movie come out?
We'll try and get passes. We'll go together at the on a limousine and stuff.
I like eggs, man.
Okay.
We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, just to so you know, our website is accessible with a backstage pass. All the audio, all the classic comedy that the Phil Henry Show has rolled out for you is accessible, but only with a backstage pass of $6.95. However, let me just say this. Let me just say that the backstage pass that gets you to that audio, you can download that stuff, baby. You can burn it onto a CD. Do anything you want with it, all right? So we are not anti-download here. It's just going to cost you to get on the site to download the stuff. See? Unlike the music business, which is going into schools now, and what they're doing is they're educating the kids on how bad it is to download music. In other words, the music business is beginning to go down the sort of the pathetic road that uninformed individuals who are trying to keep kids off of drugs by using public service movies with celebrities in them. You know, that real so disconnected way of reaching a kid. Well, that's what the music business finds itself doing now. Completely and utterly disconnected from the culture. They're going into the schools and educating kids about downloading. If anti-drug movies didn't do it, what makes you think that your little lecture on how you shouldn't download is going to do it? What, just say no to downloads? They're going to download as long as you guys are holding a gun to the kids' heads and everybody else that buys music for $15 a CD. Your music isn't worth it. When are you going to get the message? By the way, I see that Fox News has hired one of the worst broadcast. I don't even want to call her a broadcaster. She is not even qualified to be within 50 miles of a microphone, so leave it to Fox News to hire her, Tammy Bruce. The disgraced former head of Now in Los Angeles, who had an unlistenable radio show in Los Angeles, and now is on Fox News because they can't get enough Nazis. On that, they cannot find enough Nazis and goose-steppers and reconstituted conservatives to cram onto that network. Now, somebody want to sue me for what I just said? I know. Put me in the gulag, baby. Sue me. Put me in the gulag. Utterly the one of the worst so-called broadcasters I've ever heard in my life. Oh, my God. I used to listen to that show when I was on KFI locally, and I wanted to pull over and puke onto the street. You ever been car sick where you have to pull over and vomit on the street? That listening to her radio show, that's what did it for me. Good God. However, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying that that's fact. I'm not saying that that's the irrevocable truth. It's just my opinion that her radio show was the most monumental pile of elephant dung ever to be pushed onto the listeners of the Los Angeles airwaves. Oh, God. All right, now, moving on to even more fun stuff. Warren Sapp, you know who he is. Defensive tackle of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mr. Sapp has been going through a slow meltdown ever since I pointed out in very straight terms that Warren Sapp, while the Tampa Bay media wants to kiss his ass because he gives money to a hospital, but in point of fact has to be sued to come to the table like a man and support children that he has fathered in other cities, Warren Sapp is slowly doing a meltdown because we have told the truth on him. What he is used to is basically owning the Tampa Bay media, especially the sports media, so that if he supports a hospital but has illegitimate kids that that are not getting supported, then that's okay. Now, let's just take this down to the everyday level, the common man level. Suppose, ladies, you had a husband who was stiffing you on child support, but he was giving money to a local kids' hospital. I guess that means that he's okay, right? Sure. Then all is forgiven, right? That's what the Tampa Bay sports media would like people to believe. Well, let me tell you the truth. Warren Sapp is a man-child. He's not even a man. He's a man-child who is having a very difficult time adjusting to having to answer to life's situations. Since I came on the air and I pointed out the fact that Mr. Sapp lacks immense amounts of manhood and that women have to sue him for him to actually become a man and pay for his children that he has fathered out of wedlock, he's been doing a slow meltdown. He's been insulting to the press. He has, of course, refused to talk to me because, like I said, he knows he's going to get whipsawed. He knows he's going to be left bleeding in the sand. So what he's been doing lately is getting insulting with people, pushy with people. Now comes this story out of Tampa, Florida. Mike DePue has been a high school football coach for nearly a quarter of a century. He's been a Bucs season ticket holder for more than 20 years, and until a recent run-in with the six-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle, a fan of Warren Sapp. An invited guest at the Bucs, of the Bucs, as their high school football coach of the week, DePue says he found himself the object of verbal abuse from Sapp at a recent Tampa Bay practice. Afterward, DePue wrote a letter to Bucs general manager Rich McKay and coach John Gruden thanking them for their hospitality and the award, which includes a $1,000 donation to Robinson's football program, which is the high school that Coach DePue is at. But he also notified them of the altercation with Warren Sapp. According to DePue, he and two of his assistants, Rob Burns and Von Volpe, were at One Buck Place viewing practice from the sideline when Sapp walked to an area near them and threw a tantrum, apparently for DePue, making eye contact with Sapp. I was just looking around in practice, and he, Sapp, said to me in a confrontational tone, "Do you see what you're looking for?" DePue said. And as Sapp walked toward practice, DePue said Sapp used foul language and said he would, quote, give me more verbal grief if I looked at him again. DePue's initial reaction to Sapp's outburst was one of shock. He says that being a coach, he knows proper etiquette and protocol during practice. From where he and his assistants were standing, DePue believes he didn't invade any player's, quote, personal space. In fact, defensive end Simeon Rice and John Gruden made it a point to greet them during practice. But after the confrontation with Sapp, DePue says the experience at One Buck Place has been soured. It just left a bad taste in our mouths, DePue said. We were invited guests, and it was totally uncalled for. But bottom line, I've got much more important things going on in my life than worrying about Warren Sapp giving me a hard time, end quote. Well, Coach, yes, you do. But I don't. That's why I will take up the torch for you, pal. I want you to go off and be a coach and be good to your kids, but this is the kind of stuff that we eat up around here. This is protein for me. This kind of story is protein for the Phil Henry Show. Now, why do I say that? A lot of you guys may be new to the show, and you might not understand. I even had somebody say to me the other day,
"You're doing a lot more sports lately."
I said, "No, I'm not."
"Well, yes, you are. You're talking about Kobe."
What's Kobe got to do with sports?
"Well, he's a member of the..."
No, wait. This guy's accused of rape. What's that got to do with sports? He is a popular sports personality. But he's in the public eye, and so that's why, you know, this is an important story for me to follow.
Well, Warren Sapp
is a man who has fathered illegitimate children and has had to be sued by those mothers for him to come to the table and pay for his kids. Other members of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been guilty of all kinds of reprehensible behavior, as have other major professional football players, as have other major sports figures. And because they have an influence and a position in our society, that's why I talk about it. And there's one more reason why I talk about it, because nobody else does. There isn't anybody else. There is no one else who actually takes this stuff seriously and who is honestly disgusted by it enough to speak out on it. We do on this show. I think you guys are worth it. I honestly believe you need a voice here. And not only that, I don't really give a crap whether you have a voice in this stuff or not, but I really want to talk about it because I'm a father and I'm a sports fan and I've paid a hell of a lot of money in my life for season tickets and I personally am sick and tired of their behavior too. Not only that, I've been a sports journalist myself. I've walked into dugouts, I've walked into locker rooms, and I've gotten rude and miserable treatment from some of these guys. Some of them big names. I could bring them up. Some of them are in the Hall of Fame. One particular Hall of Fame baseball player told me to get the F out of the dugout and take my effing camera with me, and I hadn't said one word to the man. I'd walked up and introduced myself. This guy's in the Hall of Fame. Big time Boston Red Sox. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for the guy. I wouldn't walk across the street to take a leak on the guy if he's on fire. But no, we're told these guys are so great because they actually give 2 seconds of their time to a charity, because they wrote a big check and gave it to the United Way, because they go out and they teach adult literacy, so all is forgiven. And when I say that I can point out to you millions and millions of regular people who go out and do charitable things and don't break the law and take care of their kids, well, that's kind of boring. We don't want to hear about that. Well, guess what? You're going to hear about it. You're hearing about it from me. Warren Sapp is coming apart at the seams. Warren Sapp is coming unglued. He can't take the criticism that this radio show has leveled. He is getting it from his friends. He doesn't listen to my show, I know that, but his friends do, and they tell him what I say. And as the result of that, Warren Sapp, because he is not a mature individual, because he never learned how to become a man, is reacting as a child would. He's acting out. It's what we call acting out. Anybody got a kid out there? You know what acting out is. Mark Newman, my engineer, he's an expectant father. How far along is Emily now? 16 weeks. You're going to be a dad. Dig something called acting out. Now, you know what that is? It's if you ignore your kid enough, he'll start crapping in his pants and throwing it against the wall or something. You'll realize that you've maybe ignored him or you haven't played with him. This is called acting out. And he doesn't know how to express himself because he's a baby. So he does stuff. And you'll pay attention to him. Even negative attention is better than no attention at all. Warren Sapp is that kind of idiot. I say idiot because he's an adult man. He ought to know better. So now he's insulting and abusing some poor civilian who's a high school football coach. These are men that give of their time to kids. You understand, Sapp? Or maybe you don't. This is a guy that probably gets a buck a year. Literally, some of these guys make a dollar a year. At the smaller high schools, they don't make anything. They go and they give of their time, they like the game, and they know how to treat kids, and they know how to communicate with kids, and they're football coaches. And some of these men make lasting impressions on kids for a lifetime. So they walk into the big-time Tampa Bay Buccaneer training camp, and they're treated like crap by this overgrown infant named Warren Sapp, by this big, fat-ass baby who makes way too much money for what he does for a living, and they're treated in an insulting manner. And the reason for this, I have to apologize to you, Coach. I'm the cause of it. I've pissed off Warren Sapp, and he doesn't know how to deal with it, so he's, you know, you're the poor guy that's got to get it. Now, Warren could deal with it if he'd come on my radio show and talk to me about it. I promise I'll be fair, but if you insist on defending yourself, I say this to you, Warren, if you come on my show, I will let you have your say. I will not interrupt, but the minute you try to defend not paying for children that you fathered, then I'm going to be all over you like white on rice. The minute you try to justify your behavior, then I'm going to have to take you apart. However, if you want to come on the program, own up to your mistakes, recognize how you've let down your fans, recognize how you've particularly let down your young fans, then I may let you off with a warning. But if you come on here and try to bullcrap me, you're going to get taken apart at the seams. So that's your choice. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep talking about you, and I guess you're just going to keep acting out, and you'll have to have Gruden stick a bottle in your face. Hey, Gruden, why don't you warm up the milkman and stick a nipple in his mouth? I think that's what you need to do. Hey, Gruden, speaking of you, why don't you exercise a little control over these guys? You got bums on that team with guns, running their cars into women. What the hell are you doing there anyway? Can't even win a foot. You got your ass kicked by the 49ers. Why don't you start pulling that team together a little bit and get them to act like men, and maybe you guys can win a couple of football games too, do you think? No? All right, it was just a suggestion. The Best of the Phil Henry Show CD coming up, The Death of Talk Radio. It is out soon, baby, on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, time for the Phil Hendry Show mailbag. Dear Phil, your show is the funniest thing I've ever heard. My dad and I listen to you every night here in Fargo, North Dakota. And we literally roll in laughter. Your Best of 2002 CD makes for great entertainment during deer season. And we can't wait for the 2003 CD. Anyways, I'd like to say, keep up the good work, and I'm intrigued on how the show actually works. Thanks, Matthew Christensen. Hi, Phil. You questioned how the parents raised them. Lots of kids are more influenced by their peers than by their family at a certain age. Don't you think their bullies have a lot to answer for, too? Names do hurt. Thanks. What is she talking about? It was one of the characters about how the, okay, I don't know what she's talking about. Is it about the guys, the Columbine guys? Yeah, okay, yeah, the bullies made them go and buy weaponry that a small sheriff's department could use and blow the heads off of 12 people because some guy said, nanny, nanny, boo-boo. Get off the glade once and for all. Stop the huffing. The huffing must stop. Often you mention your wife and how she drives you crazy with her female ways, and I think that is the problem. You spend too much time with females. You need to spend more time with men. Men like me, your biggest fan, Sorg Torkelson. He says your biggest where it counts fan, Sorg Torkelson. Just when I thought L.A. was totally void of any more redeeming qualities, here comes Phil. You guys make me so homesick for my old hometown, L.A., the way it used to be. I was convinced all of the true Angelenos had split for the desert. Thanks for setting me straight, Valley Girl, Class of 75, Deborah Fisher. Is that a compliment, or I don't know. It was? Okay. Phil, I'm 31 years of age. I'm a police officer in a mountain town called Idaho Springs, Colorado. I always catch your show when I'm not balls to the wall busy dealing with crime. I have to say you're the best entertainment show on the radio. My favorite guest is Dave Oliva, who cracks me up beyond belief. I wanted to write you and thank you for making me laugh when I'm down. Take care, Dennis Thompson. Dear Phil, congratulations on your cartoon show. I hope it succeeds beyond your wildest dreams. Sincerely, a girl that you knew in high school, and I'd like to get you to know you better now, Phil, that I know you're going to be a TV star. You may remember me. My name was Patsy Cline Lerner, and my breasts are larger now. All right, thank you very much, Patty. That's our mailbag. Yeah, Fox Television announced that we have a deal for a cartoon. I didn't know that we had that deal. No, I'm kidding. Sort of. I mean, I read about it in the newspaper before I found out, that's where I found out. But we actually, a very, very talented guy by the name of Steve Levitan and a couple of really funny guys named Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Phil and Chris. What do you think of that, Chris? Phil and Chris. Anyway, we're going to take the Phil Hendry Show, all of our characters, and we're going to animate that baby. And we're going to put it into a gated community, and we're going to do the do, man. We're going to bring this show to life on television the only way it really can be brought to life on television. That is in an animated way, and using it as an... They call it animation now. They don't call it a cartoon. I don't know why. Sounds hip, but so that we're looking forward to that. You know, we did that whole 18 months with NBC doing a sitcom, what they call a four-camera, you don't know, in any event. In other words, we were doing a sitcom that's supposed to look like the old Roseanne show. And it didn't work, man. It was too funny for NBC, so it didn't move forward. And anyway, I looked around for a network that actually had a sense of humor. I said, what about Fox? They got Simpsons, they got King of the Hill. And they said, yeah, and so, cool. Because those shows are actually funny, you see what I'm saying? I know they don't come right up to the level of Coupling, and they probably don't have that panache of Whoopi and Happy Family, but, you know, they're close. So that'll be fun, and working with Levitan is going to be a gas. He most recently produced a show called Just Shoot Me, which had a tremendous run and was indeed a funny show on NBC. David Spade, George Segal, funny stuff. Look for it if it gets picked up. All right. So now we got the Australians to deal with. Did you dig this one? They were booing Bush. Yeah, you know why? Because he's a big warmongering piece of crap, and he represents a big warmongering country, and we're just Nazis, and we're running around the world, and we're trying to destroy everything. All the peace-loving, wonderful little people. And if only there wasn't an America, everything would be better, right? Right. That's right, that's America. And people come here and they love to say that phrase, I love Americans, I just hate your government. If anybody says that to me again, I'm going to haul off and I'm going to put them in a hospital bed. I swear to God, if I hear that again, that is now an unacceptable thing to say, all of you people visiting from other countries. You're very nice, glad to have you, hope you enjoy Disneyland, dig South Beach, you can get nude there, I understand. Everything's going to be cool. Go see Chicago, go see the Hog Butcher of the World, visit New York, you got to see the Big Apple, capital of the world, come on out to L.A. But if you say to me, I love America, I just hate your government, I will put you in a hospital bed for a minimum 3 months. I guarantee it. Here's how it works. For the last time, in this country, the government is the people. Now, I know a lot of Americans don't get this either. A lot of Americans are so thick that they say, well, I didn't put the government there. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. I didn't vote. You know that bumper sticker, don't blame me, I didn't vote for Clinton? Well, guess what? It's your government, too. You're responsible for it. You're responsible to it. And as long as you sit there with the smug look on your face with your anti-Clinton bumper sticker, if you got a better idea, then you better come up with it and start doing something about it, okay? Otherwise, go pound sand. Don't bother me, all right? So now the Australians are weighing in. They booed Bush when he was addressing something called the Australian Parliament. Now, these dumbbells down in Australia, you know how they got there, right? They're a bunch of ex-cons. It was a penal colony, if you'll pardon the term penal. And they went down there, and they had a bunch of, you know, so in other words, there were a bunch of prison inmates down there treating each other the way Kobe Bryant treated that girl. And the next thing you know, they have a country full of them. They're all a bunch of bushmasters with their big, thick knives, their Paul Hogan stare, their big hats, and their, you know, questionable beer. Now, they got their wallabies, their kangaroos, their timey kangaroo down sport. They got their waltzing Matilda and all that baloney. They got that Australian rules football where the guy, where they say it's really manly, but the guys run around wearing pants that only guys in gay bars would wear on stage dancing. How do you call Australian rules football manly when the pants they wear in that sport, the pants alone, would not be allowed on normal over-the-air broadcast television in America? I mean, these things, have you seen them? They're hot pants. They suck right. I mean, just Jesus. They got their fastest lagger, but I'm not here to bag on the Australian culture. I'm here to actually make a point that I wish somebody would communicate to our fine Aussie friends. Don't you realize it was 300 of your folks that got butchered up in that Bali bombing? Aren't you, or are you completely clueless? You're booing the American president. You're booing an American president who took a step that had to be taken against all odds to take the war to the terrorists. Yeah, sure, it's gotten worse. What the hell do you think happens when you corner a rat? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a tough war. It's a tough country to pacify. It's suddenly gotten very hot. You want to know why? Because we've gone into the rat's nest. We've gone into the spider's nest. We got the cannon raid, and we're spraying, baby. And guess what? They're running, and they're getting pissed. That's what happens. See, when your body gets sick, what's the first thing that happens? The antibodies go to attack the invading agent that is making you sick. And what does that cause? It causes something called a fever. The temperature rises in your body as your body marshals all of its energies and all of its immunities to battle the disease that you are faced with. So you begin to get a little uncomfortable. The body overheats. Things get hot, but all the while it is doing exactly what it needs to do, and that is put down an invading agent that is making you sick. I'm sorry I got to put this in such simplistic terms, but by God, you'd think that the war against terrorism in the minds of some people ought to be as easy as a trip to McDonald's to get the McNuggets and the Big McBurglar deal, with the McSwirl. Or what's the thing my daughter digs, that McFreeze? What is that freaking thing? She says to me, Emily had a McFlurry. She goes, let me have your French fry box. Why, Catherine? I want to get the thinking at the morning. Why? Well, because we can get free stuff. I don't want to get any free stuff, and I don't want you taking the fries out of the bag because it's going to get all over my car. We could get a free McSwirl. I said, I'd rather be blinded by lightning than eat a McSwirl. I'd rather just like shake freaking foot powder into my eyes than get a McSwirl. Yeah, she's tremendous. She's going to be the greatest. She is a saleswoman. She thinks she wants to be a dancer. In other words, she's 12, okay? So that means dancer, actress, singer, some jive like that. You know, you're 12, that's what you want to be. Dancer, actress, singer. I said you need to become a saleswoman. You got to go out and you got to pitch because, like I said, she's selling everything. All these magazines. She's got me subscribing to, like, Knitting Weekly. I mean, what? I don't even know why I did it. She comes and goes, I'm going to get some magazines and then I can go to a union. They came back from Universal and they went to Universal and she wrote all the, rides and she threw up a bunch of times and it was great. And then she says, I want to, get a lot of magazines. I don't want any magazines. Don't you understand what I'm saying? I get Football Digest. That's all I want. I don't read. I don't read. Come on. All right. What is it? I don't know what. How about Knitting Daily? I don't knit. I'm an adult man. What do you mean? Come on, Daddy. You can. Why would I want Knitting Daily? It's fun. Look at, there's ladies. You can see their boobs. What are you talking? Next thing you know, I've subscribed to Knitting Daily. Next thing. How about Figurine Weekly? Why do I want you mean those little figurines? Yeah, they're really cute. Look at, next thing you know, I got a 2-year subscription to Figurines and You Weekly. What's the next magazine that comes up? Something like Cat Fancy. So I don't want a cat. I got a cat. I don't need a magazine about cat. Next thing you know, 5-year subscription to Antique Violins Magazine. And then I got a subscription to, and the one that I really resent, and I don't know why they give this to a child, Pole Smoke Weekly. Now, what? I'm kidding. I'm joking around. All right, 1-800-449-8686. More on the Aussies coming up, man. I gotta lay this one on you. I gotta lay this one on you straight, simple, and sweet. These Australians are so stupid. We're all alone. We're all alone, man. You just might as well face it. We're all alone. America is alone. As we've always been. As we've always been. We've always had a vision of the future. We don't look to the past. We don't live in the past. That's not our thing. As opposed to Europe, for instance, where they love to... Have you been to the Eiffel Tower? Yes. Yes, I have. That's the 10th time you've asked me. Yes, I have. Yeah, and I saw Napoleon's tomb. I know he's buried in France. They told me. Oh, so you know... Yeah, I did. I knew before I got here, I knew. How about the Palace of Versailles? The Palace of Versailles? Saw that? Yeah, that's great. Now, can I go home? Please. Our country is about the future. And because our country's about the future, we're all alone in our battle against terrorism worldwide. Don't even worry about it. We're all alone. The British, they can't stomach it. Tony Blair's a great guy. But the people of Britain, they can't stomach it. They're too freaking European. They're way too European. Who else? Who's going to stand with us? The Spanish? Great folks, but yeah. No, we're alone, man, and it's sad because this is a fight that has been necessary for a long time, and thank God, I have to say, I'm sorry 9/11 happened, but it was going to happen sooner or later, and thank God the President of the United States responded exactly the way you have to respond when someone sticks a gun in your ribs. The only way to fight a gun is with a gun. The only way to fight a gun is with a gun. And if they have 10 bullets, you have 15. If he hits you with a stick, you stab him with a knife. That's the Chicago way. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Anyway, not too long ago, last year, 2002, a bomb went off in a nightclub in Bali. Do you know about Bali? You guys know about Bali? Bali is the premier resort center in the world. I mean, I've never been there, but I hear, you know, everybody, Bali. That's, we got to go Bali, man. I've got the hotels, the nightclubs, the beaches, the drinks, the women. The playground atmosphere of the place. It's just out of sight, man. Bali. And they're like a lot of resort places. They make it affordable for all of us. It is a particularly popular spot with Australians. And if you've traveled in the Southwest Pacific, you do meet a lot of Aussies. Marie and I were in Fiji 2 years ago. We met a lot of Australians, met a lot of people from New Zealand there. It's not that far away from their country. Well, a nightclub was bombed by Al-Qaeda in Bali, and it carved up 300 Australian nationals. 300 Australians butchered alive by terrorists. And yet, when our president goes to Australia, he's not only booed by the senators of that country, which I recognize Australians that because you guys are such a Beau Brummel country, and you kind of go to the beat of your own drum, that you guys have got the manners of a freaking, you know, you guys got all the manners of a pygmy at a state dinner. You guys wouldn't know how to just treat a human being decently if somebody stuck a shotgun right up your you-know-what. So you got to treat the President of the United States with the ultimate in disrespect, heckling him in your parliament, and then, of course, 5,000 protesters, because I know you got a free society. You also have a very stupid society. What do you think of that, Australia? And I'll tell you one more thing. You guys must have no balls at all. No balls at all. When 300 of your people are butchered alive by a terrorist organization called Al-Qaeda, and our country is the only country in the world with the vision and intelligence to actually do something about the terrorist problem, and what do you do? What do you do? You protest it. Because I guess you like it when Australians get murdered internationally, huh? When Australians travel off and try to have a vacation, and they get murdered in a nightclub bombing, that's cool with you. You know, I always heard that you guys were like kind of hard-ass down there. Guess what? It ain't true. The Aussies, biggest bunch of freaking babe. Oh.
you were going to use a dirty word.
Maybe I was. What business is it of yours?
I just think it's really unbecoming. And lately you've been very angry.
Oh, shut up. By the way, Trevor, when's our next meeting?
Tomorrow at noon.
Okay. Anyway, you Aussies, why don't you grow a pair? And you got an armed forces in that country, which we actually, we linked on our website during the Iraq War. We were very proud of the contribution of the Australian Army. Why don't you guys actually use it? Why don't you join us in a fight that has been long overdue and that has now reached out and touched your nation? Yes, it's true. Back in the day when they were hijacking airplanes and blowing up people in Athens, Greece, and Palestine and Israel and all over the place, you guys were still down there, you know, having fun with your kangaroo. You were still down there just rolling around with your wallaby. Well, guess what, baby? Times have changed. Now you guys have been touched by this horrific scourge called terrorism. Your countrymen have been carved up before your very eyes in a nightclub bombing, and yet you act with all the courage of a cat flea. You guys want to boo the U.S. president, and you want to boo the and you want to heckle him in the parliament. Well, what do you want to do anything about your people getting murdered? You want to stand up like men and women and do something about that? No, that ain't you ain't with that, huh? Surf's up, right, mate?
What an asshole!
Would you shut up and hang up? 1-800-449-8686. Okay, that's we only devote about 5 minutes to the Aussies. So that's all with the Aussies tonight. But keep that in mind next time you're down in Australia. Okay, they may be easier to chump than you think down there. Our email address: phs@philhendryshow.com. On second thought, I wouldn't recommend going down to Australia. Okay, you might that yellow might rub off a little bit. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, just as an aside, Ann Coulter told me that I was one of her three favorite liberals, and the other one was Bill Maher, and there was one other guy, I forget who, but and she's had a drink with Bill Maher because she says he may be a liberal, but he's fun to have a drink with, right? Well, she ain't never had a drink with me, and I guarantee I'm more fun to have a freaking belt with than Bill freaking Maher. You got to be putting me on with that one. You go out and have a drink with an Irishman, baby. You go out and have a drink with a good old Irish American, Bill Maher. 1-800-449-8686. Courtney Love has lost custody of her 11-year-old daughter. Look, I don't want to bum you guys out, but I have to report this. It's important news to report. Courtney Love, lead singer of a band called Hole, a terrible band. I don't care what anybody says. Horrible. The only reason why she's had any notoriety at all is because she was married to a guy by the name of Kurt Cobain, and because she didn't do half bad in a film called The People vs. Larry Flynt. Actually, was quite astounding in terms of her acting ability. Beyond that, she's never contributed anything to the world. She has a little girl, and she's lost custody of that child because Ms. Love has a drug problem. She's got an ongoing addiction to drugs. What kind? I don't know. I don't care. I understand. Janice, did you mention me? I think one of the drugs she's addicted to is OxyContin. Now, this woman does not need to be in the public eye. There's no need to see her, hear her, look at her. She's got nothing to say. She's a drug addict. And I have to say to you, entertainers especially, I mean, you got no excuse. The world has lost all patience with drug addicts, but particularly you people in entertainment, you rock stars, you movie actors, clean up your act or please die. One of the two. You're wasting, trees are dying because they have to make paper to print your stupid stories. This guy gets busted for this problem, this guy gets busted for another problem. Courtney Love, she's had her daughter taken from her. This there's nothing more tragic in this world than a parent losing custody of their child because they aren't fit. Because they aren't fit. Especially an individual like a Courtney Love who's got enough money to buy and sell the freaking world 80 times over. She's got the rights to her late husband's music, at least partially. But she's been arrested on drug charges. She's been arrested on drug overdoses. This little girl is now in the care of Wendy O'Connor. This is Kurt Cobain's mother, who I think the child probably is in very good hands. This was the same Wendy O'Connor who, when she learned of the news that her son had died from a self-inflicted shotgun blast, she said that, well, Kurt's joined the stupid club. Rock stars that have self-immolated. And she was right. The stupid club. It was born that day when Kurt Cobain died. The dumb club. It's no longer glamorous, and it's sad, but not in a way that anybody wants to linger over it. People would really rather just linger over the absolute waste and stupidity of you rock and rollers with your freaking drug problems, okay? Just go out to a parked car someplace, run the freaking exhaust in, and do us all a favor and die. Would you please? Reading about you is getting to be a real pain, man. It makes us all want to just chirp up. Love told the Los Angeles Juvenile Court last week that she's fit to look after Frances Bean and admitted she'd become unstable during recent weeks. She commented, "Yes, I was changing my will that week. I left a message that was like, I want to die. I want to jump off the Empire State Building." Well, for in the name of everything freaking holy, what do you think, you're going to keep a kid with you? What do you think? This is a game, lady. We got more kids at risk today than ever before. We got kids that are, my God, we don't know what's going to happen to them. The parents are drug addicts. The parents are unfit because they've got chemical imbalance problems. They're divorced. Some of them are predators. Some of them are molesters. These poor children are brutalized. Some of them are physically abused. And then we got people like you, love. You think this is some kind of a freaking game, you can think again. You just lost your kid. I hope you never get that kid back as long as you're on those drugs. And, listen, I sound like my dad. Long as you're on those drugs. What would those be, Dad? They're the ones that you're on. I don't know. You know better than me. All right, I smoked a little weed. You smoked a little weed, huh? Is that what you did? Go ahead, tell me. You smoked a little weed? I went into your sports jacket and I found seeds. Are those the seeds you use to grow it? Where are you growing it? You live in an apartment complex. Oh, so you're going into my personal effects? Yes, I am. I'm your father. Now you're on the pot. And what was that other? Is that a J? What's the J I found? It's a joint. And it's angel dust. Angel dust, is it? Holy sweet living mother of mercy. Angel dust. And how do you smoke it?
Well, you light it up just like this.
Well, let me try it. Go ahead.
Say now, what a nutty place.
All right, man, let's go to Leon, baby. How you doing? Leon.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, how are you?
I'm jolly good, sir. You?
Whatever. I ain't bad.
Good. Well, listen, I'm responding to your comments on America being on its own during this war on terrorism.
Right.
And I agree with 95% of what you said. I have to disagree with a section of it, though. The section is that the British doesn't have the stomach to fight.
Well, I didn't say that. I said that if I did, I didn't mean that.
Okay.
The Brits, Blair's under a lot of pressure. He's under a lot of pressure domestically. Am I right or am I wrong?
He's under a lot of pressure, but that's true. I've just come back from England last week, and I have to tell you that although, of course, there's a minority of Brits who don't support the war, as there is in this country, the majority of people absolutely support it.
Well, then that's good to know.
And the Brits do have a fight for it.
Well, then that's good to know.
And there's British soldiers who have died for it.
Absolutely. Oh, hey, you don't have to tell me, man. I mean, all through the Iraq War, we talked about the Royal Marines in Basra. We linked their website. We talked about the guts those guys had to go in, and especially when those people were running for their lives out of that city. The British Marines are trying to protect the civilians and at the same time fire back at the Iraqis into the city, and they did an outstanding job. And you don't have to convince me. I guess what I was responding to more than anything else was it appeared, I think Tony Blair had more guts than any leader in the world to stand with us. And of course, you heard people say, oh, he's Bush's poodle. Bush's poodle? It takes more guts to stand alone like that than it does to fall in with all of the other frogs and Germans and everything and say, we don't want to fight.
Yeah.
I guess more than anything, Leon, I was saying, it seemed like Blair was under a hell of a lot of pressure, and we're probably getting it misreported here, from the British Parliament and from the British people to somewhere along the line, conclude this little escapade.
Phil, he was on, he is under a lot of pressure, but it's from a minority of people. And, of course, the tabloids play it up. The majority of people over there see the common sense of this law. They saw it before it happened. I mean, Margaret Thatcher said it years ago about the Cold War. She had the guts to fight, and so did Churchill. The British people, generally speak, will fight for justice and freedom alongside America, and always have and always will.
That's the truth. Now, what do you think about these Aussies? What's their problem?
Disappointed. Extremely disappointed.
I mean, you could also say there's a minority of Australians, but in the parliament, in the freaking parliament, they're heckling the president.
Yeah. Very disappointed. It doesn't surprise me. I was over there, and there's a very liberal view to life. And, yeah, it's just disappointing. I mean, when you say you're on your own, generally you are, apart from right. Britain and Israel, who would support that because it's in their own interest. That's it.
Right. Well, you know what? I will say this. I've always said that the Brits stood with us, the Israelis did, and they're the best friends that we've got.
Absolutely.
Even if Israel is acting in self-interest, hey, whatever, man. You know what? This guy calls my show last week. The dude's, he's from, I forget where, Egypt. And he said, well, how come all the Israelis get the guns? I said, hey, they hitched their wagon to us. The Arabs hitched their wagon to the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union went kaput. What, do you want to blame us for that?
I just finished. That's absolutely right. And that's exactly what Alan Dankiewicz said in his book.
Well, of course, Alan Dankiewicz. Who?
Yeah.
No. All right. Listen, Leon, thank you. And
thanks for setting
me straight, brother.
That's okay, though.
All right, bye-bye. Nah, he's right. The guy's right. I just, you know what, I'm saying in a general sense, it feels like we're hanging out here, we're twisting in the breeze. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Web address is www.philhenryshow.com. Please visit our website soon. Pick up some of the stuff that you see that you might like as a Christmas present. And don't forget our Best of the Year 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, coming soon.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
If you go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, right now you'll see a picture, a photograph on our homepage of my wife Maria and I attending a recent charity affair, which was a costume party. And there I am in a pirate costume, and she's in an empress she's in an empress costume. Now, I'm in this pirate. I didn't know what it was. My wife said,
well, we're going to be going to a charity affair over in the Sherwood Country Club.
Well, excuse me for freaking breathing. The Sherwood Country Club, man. The pads over there, just to give you an idea. Oh, what do you think? $6 million sound about right to you? That's right. And they're, you know, they're 58 million square feet, and they got a pool that's 900,000 feet long. So this was being, and I don't mean to be glib, because the couple that was having this party was a charity deal. The money was going to go to a foundation that they have for different charities. Although I have to tell you, I'm a little suspicious of foundations. I don't know what the hell that means. Do you? I like to tell people exactly where the bread's going. You buy my CD, for instance, it goes to my friend's place. When somebody says to me, well, if you give $20 to the Art Wadsworth Foundation, it'll go to our charities. Well, what are those? Well, it's just thank you very much. No, wait. What exactly are the charities? Okay. And just a check would be fit. Just tell me what the charity is. What do you mean? I mean, what does that mean? But we did it, and it was a lot of fun. So anyway, we had to get ready for this thing, and my wife says, oh, this is going to be a lot of exciting. It's going to be the social event of the season. And see, you understand, my wife Maria loves people. She loves being around people, and people take to her very well. In fact, I always say she's my ambassador, because I have a problem with the human race. I don't like most people that I meet. And I don't mean that, you know, there's something wrong with me, but I'd rather just sit on my ass and not be around anybody. Maybe it's because the nature of what I do for a living. I'm in the middle of people all day long. So she loves to go to these things. Oh, we have to go to this function and then that function. We have to go over here, over there, over there. So what's this?
Well, it's a costume ball.
Oh, okay, great. So do I got to go look for a costume? What do you want me to do? Get it? No, don't go get the rubber clown mask. What do you think this is? We're going to Sherwood Country Club. Well, I was just going to borrow Chris's
Frankenstein mask.
No, 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 no. Frankenstein mask. You gotta go looking like one of them cats at a costume ball. In other words, when you go to see that movie, what's it, you know, The Phantom of the Opera, when they had the masquerade thing? That kind of a deal. Oh, okay. So she says, and I know the lady who can do it. There's a lady that everybody's going to. I mean, it's just one of those parties. Everybody knows it's a costume ball. They're all going to the same chick. Some little woman who's furtive and secret. She lives in a, like a hole in a tree stump. I mean, I have no idea where this is. It's a little woman who just,
now turn around three times, and you'll turn into a pumpkin head.
And so Maria goes, and she calls me up, you know.
Honey, I have the perfect thing. It's going to love it. It's going to be fantastic. It's Napoleon. Okay.
Okay, bye. So she comes and she's got this Empress Josephine outfit, and for me, she's got this three-cornered hat getup, and it's like a pirate thing. And it's interesting because pirates, if you don't know this, pirates, many of them, were the second sons of wealthy families. Not the first son, but the second sons of wealthy families. And why were they pirates? Because the first son inherited all of the money. The second son became rather disaffected and upset and literally took to a life of crime. But you did see a lot of pirates wearing finery, wearing those nice jackets, the ruffled blouse, and all of that baloney. So that's what I was. I was a pirate with a ruffled blouse. And if you go and you look at what's on the website, you can follow along as you look at this dopey, this marvelous costume, I should say. And notice the shoes, they're loafers. Why? Well, excuse me, I'm a little out of buckle shoes these days. Yeah, I'm fresh out of high button shoes, if you'll pardon me. What's that, Chris? I should have called your house? Oh, great. Yeah, Chris has got some. I should have known. But you got some high heel boots, too, right? So the evening approaches, and I say, well, I'm going for it all the way, right? So Maria gets into the car, and I get in the car, and I say, screw this. I wear my three-cornered hat, and I'm driving down the street. So just imagine George Washington driving down the road in a sedan, just, I pull in, and now this Sherwood Country Club is, like I said, it's the big, big, very wealthy people live there. You know, Wayne Gretzky lives there. Not that he'd even, you know, come out of his... Actually, he's a very nice guy. Not that I know him, but he's given money to charities and stuff. But Tom Selleck lives over. It's a big-time joint, right? And I'm driving through there. I'm thinking, wow, look at these spreads. So you got to pull up to a guard gate first. The guy lets you in. And there I am with the three-cornered hat and the ruffled shirt. And I roll the window down. I look at the guy. I go, guess where I'm going? The guy says, well, I know you're not here to mow the lawn. So I said, yeah, I'm going down to that, I know, the charity thing. Get out of here. So we pull in. I go down there, and, you know, one of the reasons why parties have always been uncomfortable for me is I don't know how to act around strangers. I really don't. Some people really get the party thing. Some people go to parties alone and become the life of the party. I don't know how to do it. I don't quite know how to go up to it. Do you go up to a stranger and go, hi, I'm Phil? Because that's kind of, and some people look at you funny, and I don't want to do that. So, thank God, you know, I got my wife with me. I just follow her everywhere. I mean, I'm that kind of a loser when it comes to meeting people. So I go to the bar, and there I am. But everybody had the same getup on. No wonder they went to the same store. But he looked like they were right out of the 18th century. And the theme of the thing was from Phantom of the Opera back. So you could have come as Jesus Christ. You could have come as a caveman. You could have come as anything. But everybody wants to look like a little, you know, they all want to look like the Marquis, you know, of Louis the 14th's court. And Maria had her deal. So I'm walking around looking at a bunch of other guys who look just like me with a three-cornered hat. Some of them have the mask on like they're a highwayman. You know, they have that mask like, I say, sir, render all of your silks and you'll be on your way. Marry, see, hey. Whatever those guys said. It was some kind of gay talk. And, yeah, you highway robber, you blackguard, I shall see you hang.
Forthwith.
Anyway, so then comes the... A lady comes up to me, and she's dressed as Jezebel, or she's dressed as a hooker. I don't know what she is. She goes,
have you been in the costume parade yet?
No, I have my wife.
Oh, you have to go!
But my wife...
Oh, I don't care! Go!
So I'm standing in line like a schmuck with a Heineken beer, and I'm going forward in queue for the costume parade. And finally, you know, and I'm trying to make conversation. I can't make conversation with anybody. Hi, how are you? Fine. That's nice. Are you a Cleopatra?
No, no, this is a, I'm supposed to be Dolly Madison.
Oh, yeah, the president's wife. I thought it was clear. I'm sorry. So anyway, I get up to the thing, and what are you supposed to be, sir? I'm a pirate. And here is, there's a big loudspeaker, you know, here comes a pirate! And I gotta walk out there with the little beard. I'm, hi, I'm a pirate. Oh, we've come to the end of the hour. I haven't even told you the good part where I beat up the bartender for watering down my Tanqueray and tonic. I ordered a Bombay gin, and he gave me a Tanqueray. Oh, well. Like I said, I did mention this on the show the other day. If you're a bartender and somebody comes up with a drink and says, make it again, just make it again and don't give them an argument, all right? Thank you. And I always tip well. At least 5%.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.